Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 77. 77, the Sunset Strip. Wow. 77. It's an old TV show. That's a theme song from it. Dating myself. Whee! Okay, it's episode 77. And what's my point? My point is hello. That's my point. I was losing my train of thought already. Already I'm losing my train of thought. You know what? It's an odd day here in Southern California. It has this overcast happening, and it looks like it's going to rain. We haven't had rain in years. I mean, once in a while we have a little rain. We have no water in this area. We are, you know, we're importing with all our water. We could all be thirsty very soon if we don't watch out. There's no water here. I mean, you know, there's no water. You should take a look at the LA River. The LA River is, you look at the LA River and you have to be told that that's the LA River because it just looks like a cement skating rink, like a long cement thing with occasional puddles. You go, I remember when I first found out that was the LA River, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. That's the LA River? Well, I mean, was it ever a river? Was it ever? It had to be a time where it was a river for it to be called a river. I mean, you don't name it something a river when it's just a slab of cement miles long. It must have had water in it at one point. That's my point. There's no water there. And I thought it was some kind of weird, bizarre walkway or drive thing or like a fire road for, you know, something. It just seemed like, because there's no water. All right, I made my point. There's no water. Okay, anyway, it's what's my point? It's overcast. It's dark. Well, if it's overcast, it's dark. It says on my phone it's 77 degrees. It doesn't feel that hot, but, you know, it's got that kind of humid mugginess, okay? We've got some humidity. So although there's no water, we've got humidity. What can I say? I sound like I'm doing a Bruce Smirnoff's delivery. He's very like this. He talks like this. Like an old Jewish guy. Okay, update, news update. In the building, we have a new neighbor. I have a new neighbor who has moved directly on top of me. And he's a fellow. It's a fellow. He's sort of a heavyset kind of guy. Looks about 40-ish to me. Met him and talked with him in the parking lot. Seems like a decent enough human being. Seemed like a nice guy. Turns out he works at night. And he sleeps during the day. Although I saw him today during the afternoon. I said, what are you doing not sleeping? Because, you see, once you tell me something, I'm going to use it against you. And he said, well, I took a couple days off, you know, to move in. I go, yeah, I figured I'm just messing with you. So I don't know. I think we'll be okay. I noticed that Janet, one of the managers of the building, she's kind of keeping her distance from me. I think she got mad at me when I was missing chair incident, but when I started warning people that if you move upstairs, there may be cigar smoke in your future. I just said, now that this guy's moved in, I'm not saying anything. If he wants to find out, fine. Fine. Fine, baby. I'm legally within my right. Okay, so nice to meet him. Seems like a nice guy. And I met another neighbor who's got the same apartment as I have, only directly, the way this building is laid out, it's like a horseshoe shape kind of thing. And my studio and his studio are, I guess, the same size studios. He's on the same floor. And I met this kid. He's a kid. This guy's like a kid. You know, like in his 20s. Seemed like a nice kid, too. And so it's good. So I've got some new neighbors. And No, the whole building is now fully occupied. And, you know, it's a whole new set of people except for, I don't know, a handful of other people. People that have been here for a long time, such as myself. So, and I've kind of unofficially become the mayor of the building. I'm kind of the mayor. I'm the guy that I know everybody, and I'm kind of like the mayor. So I don't know what my mayoral duties would be as mayor, but I am the mayor. Was I elected? No, I just kind of nominated. I just volunteered. It's a voluntary mayoral position, okay? There's no money. It's voluntaried. And that's that. Okay, another update. Ben Franklin, slaves. Okay, if you've been following my podcast, you'll remember that the nice, beautiful Russian girl who helped set up my iPad, she told me that she mentioned that Ben Franklin had slaves when we were talking about, I was quoting a Ben Franklin quote, and that talked about liberty and freedom and this and that and happiness. And she said, well, he had slaves. And I said, oh, okay, got me there. Then a friend of mine said that he did not have slaves. So I kind of was going with my friend on that because he's an American-born, educated guy, and I thought, you know, he would know. Well, then I did something. I did a little research myself, and I Googled it. I did the Google thing, and according to Google, according to my research, I didn't do an in-depth study here, but according to my Google search, Ben Franklin, otherwise known as Benjamin Franklin, who I believe discovered electricity by flying a kite, and he also might have been the co-author to the song, or the author of the song, Let's Go Fly a Kite, from Mary Poppins. No, I'm just kidding. Apparently, Ben Franklin owned two slaves, according to Google. He owned two slaves. Now, maybe, you know, considering the time period he lived in, having two slaves would be like having no slaves. It'd just be like, you know, if all the money, if all you had to your name was $100, and you could pretty much say, yeah, I don't have any money, right? I don't have any money. So maybe it's sort of like, hey, he's only got two slaves. Well, he didn't really have any slaves. You call those two slaves slaves? Jeez. So I don't know. I guess if you only have two, you know, he must have, hopefully he treated them well, gave them good food, clothing, and gave them a day off here and there once a week. But according to Google, two slaves, so be it. That's the end of my research for now. If anybody has anything to say, please feel free to get in touch with me and let me know. So I was at Gougers, which is my former go-to market. And, you know, they've got this mission statement in the front of the store, which talks about how they want your shopping experience to be so, you know, incredibly amazing. And, you know, that's why they gouge you, because they, you know, they give you such great service. And I'll say a lot of the people, most of the people that work there do give you great service. They do. But some people, there's a guy in the produce department. I'm not going to say his name or what he looks like. He's, you know, there's a lot of guys in the produce department that are really good. You ask them a question, and they help you out. You know, hey, is this good avocado? Is this good peach? Blah, blah, blue, blue, bleep. So that they have a habit at Gougers with the avocados. They'll put stickers on it that'll say, ready to eat. Now, this should indicate that the avocado is indeed ready to eat. However, I have noticed, because I have a limited knowledge of avocados, but I know they have to be somewhat, they can't be too hard to eat. And so somebody has, I've never trusted those stickers because they seem to just be on all these avocados, and a lot of times they might be ready to eat if you're a chipmunk, but not if you're a human. So I picked up, I was looking for an avocado that I could eat that day. I saw this guy there, and he's the kind of guy that he's working, he's doing his job, he's putting the produce on the shelves, but, you know, he kind of he kind of keeps to himself, you know, but their job is to kind of assist you. So I asked him, hey, you know, is this avocado, would this be okay to eat today? And he said to me, well, you know, it's got, look at the sticker. I go, the sticker doesn't tell me anything. Like, well, here's a sticker with one that's like a bowling ball. I mean, what kind of a answer is that? Thank you. Is that what the mission statement? That's why we're going to gouge me on the avocados? So I didn't really appreciate his help. And then I was at Ralph's, and I'll tell you, I'm getting kind of sick of their half a chicken. For a while, I was extolling, is that the right word? Extolling the virtues, singing the praises of their half chicken. Last couple times, not feeling it. I'm going to have to start cooking again, I see. Going to have to start cooking if I want to maintain this, keep losing the weight that I'm losing. So I was at Ralph's, and I was, I bought some, because Saturday is now my, right now Saturday has become my official cheat day. What that means is I can eat whatever the heck I want, no restrictions whatsoever. And I've generally, in the last, let's say, whatever it's been, 6 weeks, two months, whatever it's been, when I have a cheat day, I generally go overboard on the sugar things, sweet things, candies, cookies, donuts, ice cream. I cram them all in and try to, and what happens, the good news is by the end of that cheat day, I'm ready to go back to being diligent with my food. Next day, which is where I'm at right now. Pretty diligent. A diligent kind of guy. So I was shopping for my cheat day. Well, I already have a bunch of cheat stuff. You know, the thing with being sugar is I can always say to myself, well, I've got 12 different kinds of ice cream, but I don't have this one. You know. So I certainly have enough sugar for a cheat day, but I like to buy more. So I was... That's why I found a new thing, a new sugar thing. And it was a dark chocolate kind of thing. And when I got to the register, this was at Ralph's, you know, I was talking to the girl saying, hey, you know, get to eat anything I want tomorrow, baby. This is what this sugar thing is for. And she goes, well, it's dark chocolate. She says, you know, dark chocolate is supposed to be very healthy. And I said to her, well, yeah, I guess, yeah, that's what I heard, you know. But, you know, but, I mean, it's healthy and, like, it's not broccoli healthy, right? It's not the same kind of thing. It's just, like, is it the lesser of two evils kind of healthy? I mean, is dark chocolate really healthy? That's what I want to know. And would dark chocolate covered broccoli, ooh, that would be really an odd snack and pretty healthy, I think. Maybe not so healthy. So, anyway, she said it was pretty healthy. And I said, well, okay, then I don't feel too bad about my cheat day. And I'm not going to mention what I did, but I went, ooh, did I go overboard? I went overboard. Okay, enough about that. Then, if you remember, I think it was last week, I mentioned that I was at Gouger's, and there was a guy that works there that had been transferred to another store a couple years ago. I hadn't seen him in a while, and I thought about, for some reason, he came into my mind like a couple of days before I actually saw him again, which was back at my local Gouger's, where he got retransferred back. And when I told him that I had just thought about him, he had an odd kind of reaction, because I don't think he knew how to take it. I don't think he understood that I was just kind of mentioning it was what a coincidence. And so anyway, he works at Gouger's. Well, I'm at Whole Foods the other day, and I just get there, and I'm walking down this aisle, and boom, I come face-to-face with this guy, who's like on his day off or something, and he's at Whole Foods. And I was like, hey, dude. The first thing I said, dude, believe me, I am not following you, just in case you even want to think about that. You know, we're coming face to face here. I mean, you're walking down the aisle. I'm walking down the aisle. I'm not like I'm back. I'm not following you. And he just laughed. He said, "Well, did he laugh? He didn't like, it wasn't a guffaw. It was sort of a chuckle. He chuckled. He had a little chuckling going on. And, and that was that. That was that. I just said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, what are you doing here? I go, I'm shopping here. And so are you. And now, whatever. Nice to see you. I'll see you over at Gougers. So I got this, I mean, getting these weird emails. I have an al@alberman.com email, and I've gotten this a couple times this past week. It says, al@alberman.com, sell me your house. And I was like, I want to write back and go, okay, $20 million. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, you know, it's a spam thing, but it's not going to my spam. It's going, somehow they've gotten through the regular mail. And, but it is, it's obviously spam. You know, just spamming everybody. I mean, does anybody sell their house that way? Is anybody sitting around going, hey, honey, we just got an email. They want to buy my house. They want to buy the house. Want to sell it? I don't know. I wasn't thinking about selling it, but we got this email. Shouldn't we take a look at it? Shouldn't we take a look at the fact that they want to buy it? You want to sell it? I don't know. Let's sell it. Let's at least talk to the guy. I don't really know. And then I was talking to, this happened actually a couple weeks ago at the gas station, one of these gas stations, and there's this like drunk guy. I mean, he's obviously alcoholic. You know, he's got the alcoholic skin tone and the alcoholic glazed eyes, and he's always in some, you know, state of inebriation, and he just hangs out at the gas station offering his help. You know, he wants to pump your gas for $1, or he'll wash your windows for $1. You know, he just wants to help. And my feeling is, you know, when I'm looking for help, what I look for is somebody who is drunk. That's what I like. I mean, it's just amazing. The drunken mind. And here's why I'm glad I stopped drinking so long ago and taking drugs. Because I might have ended up, because it just rots your brain, and I might have ended up being like that person. Where all you can do is, your best marketing ideas are to go to a gas station and offer your drunken services to people that can do the stuff, you know, clean their windows on their own or pump their gas on their own. You know, this wouldn't work in like Jersey or Oregon, because I think they still pump your gas for you. So I grew up in Jersey, man. People, you know, used to come out, pump your gas, check your oil and your fluids, you know, not your bodily fluids, get your mind out of the gutter. You know, wash your windows down. I mean, that was service. That was America. Now it's so cold. You pull up. You don't even have to talk to anybody. It's like a card in the freaking machine, and boom, boom, boom. You push in some buttons. You put the gas in your tank, and you move on with your life. All right, enough of that. I get a weird, you know those, on Facebook, they've got those, suggested posts, you know, on the newsfeed, which it'll be like, I guess based on whatever you post and your profile, they try to market stuff to you. And so I got this the other day, suggested post. It said, meet millions of gay guys in your neighborhood and around the world. Now, first of all, if I'm living in a neighborhood where there's millions of gay guys, there's something weird about that. Not because there's millions of gay guys in my neighborhood, but folks, I'm in Valley Village. There aren't millions of people here. So maybe it's just, you know, I guess it's kind of worded wrong. Meet millions of gay guys in your neighborhood and around the world. They could have said, meet millions of gay guys. Some are in your neighborhood, and most are around the world. That would have been probably the proper way to say that. So I was thinking, I mean, I wasn't offended that they thought I might be gay, because I don't really care. Maybe I am a little gay sometimes. You know, sometimes maybe I'm just kidding. I'm not really, not gay ever. But anyway, the point is, what makes him think that I possibly might be gay? You know, I mean, I don't really understand, you know, I don't really post that much. Maybe they're thinking, you know what? This guy doesn't post that much. I think he's one of those antisocial gays. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. But they gave me that post, and I appreciated it. I really did. Something I was thinking about this week, I was watching a movie. I thought there may be a couple of different movies where people get married. And you know when they pronounce you man and wife, and I just don't get why don't they say, I pronounce you husband and wife? I mean, the guy's already a man. You don't have to pronounce him a man. And the woman, she's not a wife yet, but then you pronounce, it just seemed like, is it some kind of weird sexist thing? Like, maybe it's some kind of sexist thing. I don't really understand. I now pronounce you man and wife. You should be, I now pronounce you husband and wife. All right. Might be something funny there someday. I don't think it's there right now. Let's see. And then I'm in the parking lot the other day. I'm doing my walk in the parking lot. And there's a gentleman visiting. He's playing with his little grandson. Grandson's three. And kid can hardly speak any words, you know. And they got this little kid basketball that they're playing with. They're playing with the ball back and forth with each other. But this guy was driving me a little bit nuts, because he was kept telling the kid, repeatedly kept telling him, like, no kicking or rolling. You don't kick or roll when you play basketball. And I'm like thinking, you know, how about this? How about we just dispense with any of the rules about, first of all, there isn't any hoop. You don't have any hoop in the parking lot here. You're just passing a ball back and forth. How about there was just something about it that rubbed me the wrong way. It was just like, this guy just seemed like a little too heavy-handed. The little kid can hardly speak, you know, English, you know, because I said, oh, look at that ball. And the kid said, I don't know what he said. I don't know what the kid said. Oh, and then the guy goes, well, he just said, you know, it's a new ball. He's got a new ball. Good. That's good. So, you know, and then the guy tried to bond with me by saying something like, you know, talking about basketball, like, you know, well, you know, it's not like the Lakers, you know, and I go, yeah, whatever. I just kept walking. Because, you know, I'm not into sports. Whenever anybody tries to talk sports with me, you know, I mean, I usually fake it if I'm, like, sort of stuck in a conversation. You know, like somebody goes, you know, what do you think of, you know, I mean, you know, what do you think of what do you think of the Lakers this year? what do you think? You know, and he would say, well, we think, you know, Kobe, you know, could have a good year. I go, yeah, he probably could. See, it sounds like I know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, he probably could have a good year. You know, he probably could have a good year. I mean, I don't see why not. He's an exceptional player. Exceptional players can generally have good years if they're given the chance to play the game that they're paid to play. So, anyway, the guy just bothered me. Just bothered. Just a bother. Let me see. Is there anything else I want to talk about? I don't know. You know what? Maybe one more thing here. I saw this sign on a church yesterday. It was like, I think it was one of those, like, Unitarian churches or one of those kind of things. Possibly a science of mine. I'm not sure. And it just said on the church, it's so easy when you know how. And I just was like, no kidding. Anything would be easier. Maybe not easy, but it'd be easier once you know how. I got a vague statement. Is that supposed to draw people in? Somebody's going to be driving past that church going, you know, they're right. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I better go in there and find out. Because right now, it's not that easy. Because I don't know how. But if I was to go in there, I could find out how to know what to do. All right. Enough of this podcasting for today. I know I keep talking about I'm going to convert the files, the website, and everything over soon. I'm hoping to do it soon. I've got to meet with these guys. I got to call them up. I'm just starting to get used to walking without my cane and everything like that and going places without my cane. So I've got about a week and a day under my belt with that. So I'll probably call these guys up this week and maybe go see them this week or next week or whatever. At least make a call. At least do an outreach to them. Reach out and ask them about when we can get together. And then I can start, you know, and then I'll make this podcast accessible to any and all who wish to be part of this. Okay, but I do want to thank those who are listening, and you know who you are, and I don't always know who you are, but I appreciate you. So until next time, I just want to say this is Al Berman, live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.